Another fine day. Here we are in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm sitting here with Michael Goudeau, and we're at the big free FM, CBS Radio, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Feel free to drop us a line. I'm going to start with reading this Gmail. I've been hesitating on whether to read this or not because you'll see why I don't want to read it. There's a couple reasons, but I just think it's so kind of sweet and wonderful. We have a listener named it's okay to say his name, right, Aaron?
Aaron, yeah, sure.
He's a park ranger. Park ranger.
He's a game warden.
Game warden. He's a game warden
in the great state of Texas.
Great state of Texas. And what he must have voted for Kinky, right?
I'm sure he did.
And he came to both our shows and gave us these really cool little money clips that he had prisoners make, right?
Yeah.
Why does a game warden?
He's a game warden. Probably deer made them.
Deer. Why do prisoners? Anyway, hey Michael, this is written to you, but hey Michael, I wanted to share this story with you because I thought you'd appreciate it. Ever since I got back from Vegas, I've been busy as hell. This deer season is turning out to be one of much excitement and paperwork. For some reason, certain people are going all out to kill as many illegal deer as they possibly can. I seized a deer from one such individual. Whenever I take a deer from someone, I donate the meat to a needy family. To date, the man to whom I donated this meat is the most needy of anyone I've ever encountered. His name is William, and he's raised his three children by himself. His wife passed away last year from a sudden asthma attack and died in their living room sofa. The kids found her when they came home from school. William works at a jack-in-the-box and makes about $1,000 a month. His home looks like it needs serious repairs, and the grass in his yard is about a foot tall. Plus, the mosquitoes in the area are large and voracious. William was expecting me when I pulled up at his house. His heavy-set build, Coke bottle glasses, and lisp reminded me of kids I used to make fun of when I was a Baptist ever so long ago. William struck me as someone who's not too far from being a special needs person. I listened quietly while they told me about his unfortunate set of circumstances. William, I admire your strength. I can tell you're working very hard for your family. I know many who just give up, I said. My wife wouldn't want me to give up. I stopped getting emotional a long time ago, yet I had to fight back tears when I saw the look on the man's face when I gave him the deer meat. He seemed like a little kid who'd gotten exactly what he asked for Christmas. He and his family were going to enjoy something usually reserved for people with money. I felt like I had to say something to him. God bless you seemed inappropriate and insulting to me. What cruel effing God would allow William and his kids to be in this situation? If the meek are to be blessed, when does this guy get wings? So I said the only thing which I thought was totally appropriate for the situation. Penn and Goudeau say hi. William looked at me kind of puzzled, but it lightened up my mood. Tell him I said thanks. I shook William's hand and left him. That encounter reminded me of the reoccurring theme of your show, which is that we should be cool with and to each other. We shouldn't be kind because we're afraid of the Almighty, rather because it's the right goddamn thing to do. And that's Aaron, a true hero with a random act of kindness, leaving some venison off at William's house. And William, even though Aaron was right in his prediction, Penn and Goudeau do certainly say hi to you and wish you the best. Wish you absolutely the best. Venison, you know, John Wayne Gacy, you know, the man who killed all the people, he used to bring his neighbors venison stew, and he never went deer hunting. That's one of the creepiest facts I have.
Are you accusing Aaron of something?
Not at all. Not at all. No, I'm sure that Aaron had a real deer and brought it to him. That's a very touching story.
I wasn't sure
about reading it because, you know, it is self-aggrandizing. It is how the Penn and Goudeau. But I think it's sweet enough and kind enough that it's worth doing.
It's about Aaron.
It's about Aaron. It's not about us. It's about Aaron, and it's about a deer, and it's about William and his kids and his Coke bottle glasses. And Our heart goes out to all of them. So it's a nice Tuesday.
Whoa, did you say that?
What day is it today?
It's check it out. Let me check. Click on here. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Apparently Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, that means it's Monkey Tuesday.
Oh,
Yeah, it's Monkey Tuesday here with Ben Gillette and Mike Udell.
You know, this is a really funny thing, and that's that half of the listeners are going, yes, they're going to do another Monkey Tuesday. And the other half are going, ah, oh, geez Louise, when are they going to let the Monkey Tuesday go? Just let the Monkey Tuesday go.
How many emails have we gotten saying, I'm sick of Monkey Tuesday?
Six. That's half of our listeners.
But there have been some that say enough of the Monkey Tuesday.
A few.
They like some people. That's why I put a nice little sweet venison story.
Sweet venison story, yeah.
There was that story about a week ago in the press. There's a lawyer arguing that sex with a dead deer is not bestiality.
It's not.
That's why people become lawyers, to be able to do that. But there's a guy, you know, instead of having sex with a dead deer.
That's the hard part of being a lawyer, is doing that with a straight face.
Yeah, you got to do that with a straight face. I disagree with you. I think it's the fun part of being a lawyer, is doing that with a straight face. You know?
Yes.
OJ didn't say he did it. He said that's the way he would do it. Saying this up with a straight face is really fun. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to take this call from, it's Neil. Take a call from
Neil.
Sure.
Why not?
Hey, Neil, what's up, man?
Oh, not much.
How are you doing this fine Monkey Tuesday?
I'm doing well, and pleased that it's a Monkey Tuesday.
Yes, it is. What's up? You got a monkey story for us?
Well, not exactly a monkey story, but for some reason, I was inspired to cough up some lyrics to the song.
Oh, you have more lyrics to the Monkey Tuesday song? Are you prepared to sing them?
Sure, I'll do my best.
You want to sing them along with the music? Probably.
I can try. It's a little fast, but I'll be happy to try.
We'll give you a couple tries. Also, Patrick, we are recording this so that we can, if it's good enough, we might be able to use it for a bumper or something. Can you put it on a special, we used to call them carts in the old days. What do you call them now? What's your little machine called there?
Computer.
Not computer, you rat bastard. What's the machine you hit the Monkey Tuesday music with? Yeah, a 360. Can you put it on the 360? Tomorrow we put on 360, okay. So, y'all said, why don't you say when to go? Patrick will, actually, you say the words that make it go, and then right afterwards you come in singing, we'll listen to them. Go ahead, hit it.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Here we go.
Just.
3, 2, 1, go. Duking on a chimp, juggling macaques, monkey sees a dwarf, just relax. Monkeys on the car, monkeys in my pants, monkeys all around. Dance, dance, dance. Biting off a digit, biting off a breast, these are all the stories we like best. When a chimp attacks, we would like to know. Send your tail and pen and Goudou.
Okay.
I messed up at the end there.
No, you messed up at the very beginning and stayed messed up. You were behind it for the whole way through.
No!
We should let him sing it without the music,
yeah.
Slowly. And with some feeling.
You can sing. Let's have a little a cappella.
Paul Anka version.
Okay. Yeah. Here it is. I'll slow it down a little so you can understand me.
Sure.
Puking on a chimp, juggling macaques, monkey sees a dwarf, just relax. Monkeys on the car, monkeys in my pants, monkeys all around, all the stories we like best. When a chimp attacks, we would like to know. Send your tail to Penn and Goudou.
Very, very nice, Neil. Now a little faster this time through.
All right. Puking on a chimp, juggling macaques, monkey sees a dwarf, just relax. Monkeys on the car, monkeys in my... These are all the stories we like best. When a chimp attacks, we would like to know. Send your tail to Penn and Goudou.
Okay, now, we're going to do it again with the music. 3, 2, 1, Monkey Tuesday.
Puking on a chimp, juggling macaques, monkey sees a dwarf, just relax. Monkeys on the car, monkeys, these are all the stories we like best. When a chimp attacks, we would like to know. Send your tail to Penn and Goudou.
Oh, there was a very nice reading on We Would Like to Know. I like the way you came up on that. Very, very nice. Very Sinatra kind of phrasing. Neil, a beautiful job. A wonderful, wonderful addition to Monkey Tuesday. If you do find a way, like with like on your computer or something, to run that and get it exactly dead on, make sure you send it to penradio@gmail.com, because I like that. I mean, I don't mean to show any disrespect to the other guy. I like those lyrics better.
You do?
Well,
the last ones we have.
These are
I appreciate
good.
It. They certainly warm my heart.
They certainly are. My personal faves are in there. And then Dance, 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 you can never go wrong with.
Well, so you know, that's what inspired me, was when that guy said that there are monkeys in my pants, and it just seemed like monkeys in my pants, dance, dance, dance.
Of course,
right there.
Of course. What else would you do?
It writes itself.
Now, you don't have your own monkey story?
God help me, I wish I did.
No, let me say that again.
Xenu, help me, I wish I did.
Where do you live?
I'm in South Carolina.
South
Usually
Carolina.
Listening to you by podcast,
and
but I happen to be home
taking care of my 7-week-old son today.
Well, congratulations to the 7-week-old son. Where do you think the nearest monkey is to where you live?
We actually have monkeys in the zoo. We have a zoo here in town.
Yeah.
And when I took my daughter most recently, the most horrifying, the scariest thing she's ever seen was the man in the banana suit. that she still has nightmares about that. She's two. But yeah. When we went to the zoo and the monkey, the howler monkey, let off, she was ready to go home.
He just started screaming, you mean?
Yeah, he started screaming.
Yeah, she was frightened by that.
Howler monkeys, not only their name, it's very descriptive.
Is it really?
Yes. Exactly.
They're very
Well, I think you could take the two-year-old there again and get yourself another monkey story.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
Because, you know, listening, a lot of people think listening to radio is a passive activity. Not with Penn and Goudeau and not on Monkey Tuesday. We really expect everybody who listens to go out and scrounge around for a good monkey story. But you've certainly done your part by writing lyrics. And even having your two-year-old daughter scared by a howler monkey, that's a storyette. That's a brief story. But, we, you know, not everybody fills up the whole hour with their story. So, thanks so much, Neil. Thank you so much for your story here.
Well, you know, a lot of the monkey stories involve injury, and I'm not sure you suggesting it's take his two-year-old back to the zoo is a...
I wasn't
you know,
saying go and throw your kid in with the monkey, although that's a wonderful idea.
You were kind of suggesting taping Cheerios to the monkey, to the baby, and letting her run. You know, I can see that's where it's going.
I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. I'm just saying I didn't suggest it. There's
right.
a difference there.
Nah.
He did a nice. I like people singing that. I like people singing. I do like people singing. People singing is important to this show. Now, many radio shows that aren't talk radio have people singing one after the other in like 3-minute hunks. But I like better the people singing, not some, you know, sort of pro tools in the studio and with all the equalization on everything. No, no, just someone singing a song about monkeys. What's wrong with is that too much to ask, America? That people just sing songs about monkeys? We should open this up to different tunes, too. Somebody must be sitting at a piano right now or playing a guitar that's
American kind of Monkey Idol.
It's gonna, wow, would that be a great
That's
show?
That's a great show.
Great show. People have to do some sort of talent that has to do with monkeys. You'd have trained monkeys. People come out and monkey dance. Monkey dance. They could do the monkey.
Monkey jokes.
Monkey jokes. That's monkey story, storytelling.
Monkey puppets.
Monkey puppets. This is the greatest idea ever
monkeys.
For a show. What's that? I think I would be Simon. Don't you think I'd be Simon?
I'll just say nice things about everyone. Oh, that's a pretty good monkey trick.
Yeah, I'd be there going, that wasn't even a monkey. That's a squirrel story, you stupid bitch. Get the hell off our show. You can't tell what a long, shaggy tail and eating nuts is. That's a squirrel story. Go home. You were sitting there alone in your delusional sense thinking that was a monkey. That's a squirrel.
Do we look like amateurs? No, I think that was a really good monkey story. And even though he kind of described a squirrel, he might have been a monkey.
That'd be
the Paul Abdul, yeah. I think your monkey story. I think you should not listen to him because he's just putting you down, man.
You know what I think?
What?
This show really could seriously be a hit if you dress precisely like Paula Abdul. You would dress just like her?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll make that commitment.
Michael Goudeau in drag is Paula Abdul. And how does Simon dress? Who else? Who are there? I've never seen this show. He wears a black T-shirt? I can wear a black. And no pants?
It's going to be a much better show.
Jack just said just a black
I'm
T-shirt.
I'm dressed like Paula Abdul and you're just wearing a black T-shirt. This is going to go well.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know Randy Jackson is.
He's the other judge. Randy
People
Jackson is the other judge.
Are they hearing you on the air, Jack? So I'm answering a conversation that no one else hears. You can't
That's
hear
nice.
Jack, but he's talking to me about Randy Jackson and other people. Tito Jackson's brother, yeah. Patrick has one joke. He feeds me Tito Jackson into my headphones whenever I need a name. That's okay. That's okay. Let's go with you told me which one to take. Did you want me to take Gary? Okay. Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Got a monkey story for us, Gary?
I sure do. This takes place in the mid-70s. It was at a house party, okay?
Okay, good.
And
what type of house party? I mean, in the modern sense of a house party, children or young adults, or do you mean...
It was a mixed family. There were children there. There were adults.
Okay, so not a party that's just all rock and roll and crazy kids the same age.
No, but it was on the wild side also, because it was a pool party.
Oh, sure.
And you know, the owner of the house had mentioned that she owned a monkey.
Oh, good.
And she says to everybody that, you know, my little Caesar is very good with the family, but he gets a little skittish with strangers.
His name is Little Caesar?
Little Caesar.
Little Caesar? Mm. Is the monkey's name Caesar, and that was just, she was describing him as little, or is his name Little Caesar?
His name was Little Caesar.
Oh, that's a great name for a monkey. God damn, is that a good name for a monkey. I want to go to Little Caesar's Palace. So you're over at Little Caesar's Palace.
Little Caesar.
He gets skittish. He's good with people. He gets skittish around strangers.
He's good with
around
some people.
Strangers, right.
That's what we know about Little Caesar.
So she said that she had Caesar in the hallway on a leash by the stairs. Mm-hmm. And she tried to tell everyone to try to avoid him.
Uh-huh.
All right?
So,
because she didn't want him to bite anyone.
Sure, of course.
So, as the party went on...
Just so you know, this woman and my desires are different, because in this story, I do want Little Caesar to bite someone.
Well, it goes on. It gets better.
You were not there, and it was not you being bitten, Mr. Gillette.
No, I don't ever want me to be bitten, but I like people bitten by monkeys, but you all know that about me. Go ahead.
So... What happened was, as the party got longer, people started was drinking more, and there's always that one uncle in everybody's family who starts getting loud and boisterous. So I said to the owner, I asked her, I says, by the way, where is, you know, is it okay if I go to him? And, you know, she says, well, it's okay if you keep your voice calm and you don't move so fast in gesturing motions, and you should be fine with him.
Uh-huh.
And so she says, by the way, he loves cheese doodles, but don't give him too much.
Okay, sure. Cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy.
Yeah.
That would be the greatest password ever. Cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy. If you're ever having a speakeasy, you know, when cigarette smoking is banned entirely in the whole USA, and you have your little smokers club, I think you want to have people have to say at the door, knock on the door and go, Little Caesar loves...
Cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy.
Cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy.
All right, you can come on in.
Come on in, yeah. Open them up.
Absolutely.
Smoke them if you got them. Okay, so cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy. So you go into the hallway.
So I go into the hallway, and I find Little Caesar, and he's sitting down next to the banister on a leash.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of, like, walked up to him nice and slow with a bowl of cheese doodles.
Uh-huh.
So what he did was he stood straight up and with one arm straight up in the air and the other arm straight out, holding his hand, gesturing like for some cheese doodles.
Sure. That's actually the international signal for cheese doodles. One hand
national
straight
sign
up,
language,
the other
yeah.
hand out. If you know anybody that speaks ASL, American Sign Language, that's the sign for give me some cheese doodles.
But when he stood up, I said to myself, my God, Little Caesar's huge.
Now, what we're going to do, we have to take a break. This is the perfect, this is what's called a cliffhanger. We're going to hold you right here, take a little break, and come right back to Gary with Cheese Doodles Make Little Caesar Crazy here on Monkey Tuesday.
Okay.
This is Penn Jillette here on a beautiful Monkey Tuesday. And for those of you who just tuned in, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. For those of you who just tuned in, we're talking to Gary on the phone. And Gary has a story about
he's at a house
Caesar.
Party.
At a house party. Little Caesar, he's in the hallway with the cheese doodles. Cheese doodles make Little Caesar crazy. Little Caesar has just given the international signal for give me cheese doodles. And when he stood up, we have found out that Little Caesar is not little, but Little Caesar is actually very big. Do I hit the button or are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. So go on with your story.
So what happened was, you know, I said, my God, this Little Caesar is huge.
Yeah, sure.
So he was at least 4 feet tall.
Sure.
As a spider monkey.
Wow.
So he sat back down, and I walked up to him with the bowl, and he went into the bowl and very easily took one out and started eating one.
Uh-huh.
And he was still seated, squatted.
Uh-huh, sure.
So then I hear my loud uncle, who is drunk now,
sure.
comes strolling into the house, and he he sees me crouched down next to Little Caesar.
Sure.
All right, so now he walks up, and he points to the monkey, and he says, is this the gorilla that we're all supposed to be afraid of?
Oh, yeah! I love your uncle. Wait a second, what's your uncle's name?
Andy.
Uncle Andy. We love Uncle Andy. Uncle Andy is taking on Little Caesar. This is the big gorilla we're supposed to be so afraid of. Oh, I love this story. Go on. But tell it slow. You know, we have to enjoy this. This to us is pornography. So slow. Draw it out. Make us enjoy it. Go ahead.
So he's talking very loud, and the gestures that the monkey is making now is being like very scared now because of his loud and his, he's pointing at Little Caesar. I'm not afraid of you. What do you think I'm afraid of? And he's yelling at the monkey, and it just reminded me of one of the movies where Mighty Joe Young was in the jail, and the three drunks were harassing him.
Sure, sure. You know, that's the great thing about this show, is everybody who listens to this show is very well versed in Mighty Joe Young, King Kong, and all the Planet of the Apes movies.
All monkey.
But the Gorilla at Large is also the Raymond Burr monkey movie. Just so you know, you might want to check out Raymond Burr, who played Ironside and Perry Mason. Raymond Burr did not one but two monkey movies, two knockoffs of Mighty Joe Young. But go on. So he's like the drunk in the cell with Mighty Joe Young, Little Caesar, who's being harassed.
And he's yelling at the monkey, I'm not afraid of you. And I'm telling him, you know, listen, he's not as small as he seems. He's, look at him. He goes, we're all supposed to be afraid. He ain't going to bite me. And he's yelling at him, and so what he did was he stepped forward, and he reached his hand out. So what happened was Little Caesar grabs his hand, pulls it into his mouth, and bites him.
Oh, yeah. What part of the hand?
It was like the forefinger right at the knuckle.
Oh, forefinger at the knuckle. Yeah, go ahead.
And my uncle screams, and the monkey gets scatter. So at the same time, the monkey's long tail loops around his ankle, and with the monkey's other arm, he's holding on to the banister, and he yanks his ankle, his leg, out from under him. So now there's this huge man, 6'2", 200 pounds, slams to the floor.
Yeah.
Little
drunken
Caesar,
Uncle Andy.
Drunken Uncle Andy. Little Caesar jumps on him and starts smacking his face.
Yeah.
And now the monkey is screaming also.
Sure.
And I'm standing there. The whole party runs into the house. I'm standing there with the cheese doodles. And they're watching drunken Uncle Andy get beat up on the floor.
Now, you left one detail out. I hope to hell, and I hope the answer to this question is right, because it'll break my heart if it's not. And you are, I hope, laughing. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. I am hysterical because this uncle, he's like the bully of the family.
Sure, sure.
And when he gets drunk, he gets worse.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there hysterical because this big, huge man who's a bully is getting totally beat up by a 4-foot monkey called Little Caesar.
Yeah.
That was great.
Did you? How did it finally end? Did Little Caesar just get tired?
No, he kept smacking him. The owner and after party ran into the house, and the owner ran up to Little Caesar and calmed him down.
Okay. And then was he rewarded with a couple cheese doodles for taking out drunken Uncle Andy?
Actually, she made everybody leave. She made my uncle go into the bathroom to wash up because he was bloodied all over his face, bleeding nose. He had scratches on his cheeks. And it was hysterical. It was the joke of the year.
Oh, that's. And did drunken Uncle Andy ever find the humor in this, or is he still touchy about it?
No, he did. He did find the human. He left because I constantly teased him about
right.
it forever.
So whenever he gets too big for his britches, you just say, we're going to bring in Little Caesar to kick
we're
your
gonna
ass.
We're going to bring it, exactly. Yeah.
I would imagine that would be the family joke. Oh, that's terrific. You know, I love, I mean, it was nice that the guy wrote the monkey song. I like that very much. But really, a real good monkey story has someone getting hurt, and that's wonderful. Although I do want to say, Gary, that I'm a little bit bothered, just a little bothered, not much, by you repeating over and over again how big Uncle Andy was. Because it's kind of like part of this story, the good part of it is that the big guy is falling down and getting slapped around. And at my size, I find that a little less hysterical than you do.
See, I find that hysterical.
You
I can't
love,
stop laughing at the big guy getting pounded by the monkey. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to get a monkey.
thank you so much.
A monkey
kid.
To sit well, in here right next to me.
Well, I love your show, guys, and I just wanted to, I had to tell you this story.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks
That's
so
very
much.
Generous, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. That's very kind of Gary. You want the big guy to go down, don't you?
I just think it's funny.
Yeah, it is. Big guys falling down is funny. It's,
yeah.
I mean, anybody falling down. You know, have you seen Moxie fall down?
Yes, you showed me videotape of your daughter falling down.
I love people falling down, and Moxie.
I'm pretty sure Child Services is on the other line.
Moxie was running, and she fell. Now, I should say she was running on the couch.
Yes.
She was falling onto a couch cushion. But when she fell, I laughed. And because I'm her father, she really likes to please me. So just me laughing is enough that now whenever I come in the room, she jumps up on the couch, she runs, and she falls flat on her face. And I say, do you want to fall for Daddy? So she does fall for me, and it's a great – I love people falling. And for a while I was dating a dancer at Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the classy topless show. It's the topless show you can take your mother to. It's not the topless show like, you know, with pole dancing and stuff. They have, like, Bob Mackey big headdresses, and they're dressed
a lot
like,
of feathers.
A lot of feathers. And then, the breasts there. Mm-hmm. And they're also very tasteful, you know, show breasts. And they came down long stairs in these very high heels. And I would go to pick her up at she's actually the fire eater in our show, mm-hmm. Georgie. In the Penn & Teller show, she eats fire. But she was a showgirl in Jubilee, and terrific, you know, just gorgeous, 6'2", you know, just fabulous, fabulous, perfect, perfect-looking woman. But I would run to pick her up at the stage door. I finished my show, and I'd run over to Jubilee's when we were at Bally's. I'd run over there. And I would be so excited, not because I was going to meet a hot piece of ass for a date, but rather because she would tell me if anybody fell in the show. Because they'd come down these stairs, a whole bunch of dancers. There's like 100 dancers in Jubilee. And if one guy, you know, one guy was having, because there's also there's guys in the show too. There's boys and girls in the show. And boys and girls is the right term for dancers. They don't use men and women. Coming down the stairs, and one of them would fall and always take out two or three
it's
others.
Dominoes.
So if one of the, the boys in the show had a bad night, was a little bit off, he would fall. But the great thing is everybody around him is in high heels with like 50 pounds of feathers and a backpack, so they are precarious. And so they fall like crazy. And I never got to see one of the falls, but I would make her, I mean, it was like foreplay for us, I'd make her tell me in detail about everyone that fell during the show. And the best story she had was she was topless, high heels, in a headdress and a backpack. And she was right, she was head lead dancer, there's both. And she was right on the front of the stage, and she lost her balance, and she fell straight forward with a headdress and everything, right onto the front row of the audience. And they just used them as little cushions to push her back up there and get her back on. So I love people falling.
It's a 3D show.
3D show. They come right. It's coming right at you. All those lights, those sounds. I could not believe it.
You know, I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, my wife is rather well known for tumbling down the stairs at the Follies Bergère on several occasions.
I don't know that.
As the lead singer, yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
As the lead singer,
As the lead singer. She would come singing and dancing, you know, kind of sideways down the stairs. upstairs, and two or three times she tumbled down.
Two or three times?
Yes.
No wonder you love her.
What's not to love?
Did you ever see her fall?
I didn't actually see her fall. No, she didn't fall while I was in the show.
How high a staircase?
Oh, it's many, many stairs. Oh. Many, many razor sharp. Plastic gold stairs with lights on them.
Oh, and you're
and of course she's as the lead singer. All of the focus is there, so it's not like you caught it out of the side of your
eye. Like
you were
surprised.
Staring and down. She
and
came.
She's busty and very attractive.
Yeah, it's a
and what was she wearing when she fell? Heels and stuff.
Yeah, heels and feathers and you know like a black spandex thing with you know rhinestones on it.
Singing?
And she would the microphone would come tumbling down. You'd go, look, 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 look. It was great.
Did her father love when she fell when she was a kid?
I don't know.
Did she fall for daddy? Fall for daddy. Fall for daddy.
She'll fall for me now. I ask.
She will?
If I beg.
Have you seen her fall?
Not often. Unfortunately, she's apparently gotten more skills since then.
Well, Emily's got some really bad shoes.
Yeah?
And she really loves where they look, but she's not good at walking in them. And they're the greatest shoes ever because she's always falling against things.
And you're always dressed up if you're wearing those shoes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the greatest thing in the world. I love people falling.
You know, I had a friend. You want to talk falling stories?
Sure.
We want to keep going on falling stories?
Sure.
I had a friend who was working as a clown in front of one of the hotels. And there was a 2-inch step up into the casino, and she would stand there in her clown outfit a couple of feet back from the step up because she knew people would be looking at her.
Yeah.
And so she would make eye contact with them as they were coming up, knowing that it was going to trip them and make them fall.
My friend Mark Garland, we would go to openings of movies. We'd go to openings of movies and wait in line for like hours because I like waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
I like the social aspect of that.
You must love Disneyland.
He would try to find a place. He found a place. It's only really happened once. We tried it other times. It didn't really work. Where there was a little tiny curb.
You need an inch.
Chip over that you couldn't see. And we were in line. So we watched probably 150 people walk by there. And Mark Garland got really good. It was fabulous. It was poetry. At waiting until they were just like a foot or two from there. Then he would say, watch out. He would say it slowly. And they would turn, and he would pull their attention, right? This is the genius of this. He'd pull their attention so that they would be looking at him, they wouldn't see it, and they'd trip. And right as they trip, he'd say, watch out for that curb there. So he was able to make them trip, and then they would trip, fall, and then turn to him and thank him. And it was just, it was just the greatest thing you could ever see in the world. We can't just talk falling stories, although we love them. We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday right after this. Didn't quite hit the ending there. This is not Penn Jillette here on the Penn Jillette Show. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. We're on the big free FM, CBS Radio. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. And it's a beautiful Monkey Tuesday here. And the phones are all lit up. We have a zillion calls. And we're going to get to them and find out what monkey stories people have. If they include someone falling down, even better. But that's gravy. Once you get a monkey in a story, you get a fine, fine story. Let's talk to Bill. What's up, Bill?
How's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thanks so much, man. What's up?
Quick story for you. Lincoln Park Zoo, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. We've had several from there. Several from there. Go ahead.
Well, before they messed up the monkey house, you were kind of close and personal with them.
Sure, I know that, yeah.
Well, I brought my daughter over there. I got my girl with me. We got a couple with us. And I'm making fun of Otto the Chip. Otto the Chip was, you know, a pretty, you know, he'd come up, he'd bang the glass if you were making fun of him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm making fun of him. I've been going crazy, actually running at the glass, kicking it and hitting it at the same time.
Good.
Everybody's laughing. I'm like the party. Next thing you know, I stop. My little girl goes, "Do it again, Dad." And right when she said that, there was a silverback gorilla sitting on the top of the perch, like looking down at all the other monkeys and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
This thing swung down the monkey gym. You know, next thing you know, he hits the glass, and the whole place echoes. The woman next to me goes screaming, running out of the place, leaves her kid right next to my daughter.
Leaves her kid.
She ran completely out of the place.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
Well,
now, that's a really good day for a silverback. When you can scare someone away from their kid.
She ran so fast, and, you know, I was hitting the glass with my fists and stuff. I wasn't making a noise. This thing came back, came right at me. He was as thick as the glass was away. He could have grabbed me. He hit that glass, and the whole place echoed.
Oh,
and like I said, everybody jumped. Everybody's looking at me because this thing's just standing there with the hair straight up on his back. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, yeah, we got to get out of here.
Bow. Just bow to him.
Yeah, exactly.
You split. So he kind of shot. Are you a big guy?
It's about 6'3".
Okay, good, good. And that's, we have, the, for those of you who love monkeys scaring big guys, you got that, Kudo.
It's a good day.
That's
it?
Built
that's
into
two.
That story. That's built
two.
Into the story. Okay.
Well, the lady had fallen while she was running away from her child.
And what happened? Did you finally reunite? Or is that, did you adopt that daughter?
Yeah, my girl grabbed the kid, and, you know, she's standing right outside, and she's, like, walking down the ramp when we were coming out with the daughter.
She was coming back in for the daughter, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't but, just an excuse
if
to...
If that thing got through the glass, the kid would have been mauled. Here's your baby's head.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys be safe.
Okay, you too, man.
You know, I was on a bus in Yosemite once with a lady who had left her kid in her stroller at, like, two stops before. She was sitting on the bus, and all of a sudden she goes, "Oh, my God, I left the baby! Hey, stop the bus! Stop the bus!" The bus driver goes, "I can't turn around." She goes, "Stop!" And jumped out, went running back down the street.
How did she get that far?
I have no idea. And it was an amazing moment.
Back in the day before cell phones, mm-hmm. we left a teller at a gas station. Back in the before Penn and Teller, it was the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, okay? And it was three of us. Weir Christopher was the third member, me and Teller. And then we had a crew guy, a lighting guy, that traveled with us. Mark Garland, the same person
right.
we trip people. And we'd all travel in this big van that had all our props in the back and lighting equipment and sound equipment. And we had to take every gig we could get. So we would drive, you know, for a $500 gig, we would drive 8-10 hours, you know, to
sure.
do a show.
Sure.
So we'd be driving, and Teller would always, you know, we would sit up in the front, and Teller would always say, "I'm going to go conk out in the back." And it was so disgusting because Teller would go back and strip down to his underwear and then curl up in this little blanket, usually like eating a grapefruit. So there'd just be this little like pile of grapefruit rinds and clothing and Teller wrapped up in a blanket, you know, very dangerously in among all the equipment. He would just be there on top of the props and stuff, way in the back of the van. So it was one time we were traveling. And we're going to a gig, and we pull over to a gas station to get gas, and Teller is sound asleep in the back of the van. So we're, Mark and I, we get out, we go in and get our Hostess products, you know, and our Coca-Colas, and while the tank's filling up.
RC and Moon Pie, and hop back in.
RC Cola and a Moon Pie, we're traveling, and then we come back to the car, we get in, close the doors, and take off. So we get about an hour and 15 minutes from where we were, and we had a very important question to ask Teller. So Mark crawls in the back and goes, "Teller's gone." There's no Teller. Now, remember, we're in a totally foreign place. There's no cell phones. This is back in the antediluvian sure. days. There's no cell phones. So we have to remember where a random gas station was along a highway, which took us, you know, we had to circle back and also check a few gas stations. And, of course, you know what happened. Teller woke up and decided to sneak out of the van and go and pee and jump back in. And his timing was perfect. So when we get back there, Teller is sitting in just his underwear, wrapped up in a blanket with sneakers and underwear, and wrapped up in a blanket with a grapefruit in front of him. Okay, no money, okay, no credit cards, no nothing. Just counting on, before cell phones, counting on that we would notice him missing and be able to remember the gas station. You know, no way to call us, no way to do anything. And we came back, and the great thing is, because of the personalities and so on, we pull up next to where Teller's sitting there, and he opens the back of the van, gets back in, closes the door, and not a word is said. We just take off down the road again. It was just, it's just a great thing. It was just a great, great thing. So leaving people behind, I think, is always funny. And Mac King has a story. Well, next time Mac's on, I'm going to have him tell it, how he got in a rental car with magicians, and while they were heavily in a conversation, found a way to undo the back seat and get into the trunk from the back seat, and did it quietly, so the magicians were able to drive along and go, what do you think, Mac? Mac! Mac! So I think people vanishing and being left behind is a wonderful, wonderful idea for entertainment. So let's take another phone call. Let's talk to Adam. What's up, Adam? Adam?
Hi.
How you doing, Adam? What's up?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thanks. You got a monkey story, Adam?
Uh-huh.
Lay it on us.
So it was a long time ago. I was like 3 or 4.
How old are you now, Adam?
13.
13. So about 10, 9 years ago. Yeah, go ahead.
So and my mom's best friend from Florida had flown down, and I'm in New Jersey, and we go on this great adventure safari.
Oh, great adventure. We almost get through a whole Monkey Tuesday without a great adventure story. So you're 3 or 4. Go ahead.
And me and my sister are sitting in the back car.
How old is your sister at this point?
She's 3 years older than me, so about 9, maybe.
Okay. So 3 or 4 plus 3 would be 9. I'm with you so far.
So we were having a good time, and we get to these pink-butted monkeys.
The pink-butted monkeys. Okay, Adam.
And we were in traffic because everyone was stopping to look at them.
Sure, well, that's what you're there for.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they go crazy. They start jumping on cars.
Well put. Yeah. Well, that's what you're paying for. That's what you're paying for.
And then one of them jumps on our car. It goes to jump on the windshield, and my mom turns on the windshield wiper.
Oh, sure,
and
yeah.
Jumps back and like does a flip over our car.
Uh-huh.
And then we were about there for like 15 minutes, and then this Ford parks up, and one of the employees comes out, and he's got this long tranquilizer gun out and starts shooting at the monkeys.
Really? You come up with a tranq gun?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Is that really true? You sure?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, that's a great story, Adam. Thank you. Thank you so much. That warms my heart. What's great is to see another generation of Monkey Tuesday people coming along, you know, because the youth is our future. And we can tell all the monkey stories we want, but we don't get the younger generation interested in telling trank guns and falling down and getting bitten by monkeys. That can die with us. And we have a pact, a promise that we've made to the future that we will always have monkey stories. So as global warming
tradition
continues, and as maybe World War III, there has to be, we have to hand the mantle down to young people to tell their monkey stories. And Adam is a fine leader. The youth is the future, and the future does have monkey stories. And even though the monkey stories may include some questionable math, and maybe things that didn't happen, that doesn't matter. It's Adam, it's the youth, and he is the one that will carry on Monkey Tuesday.